The following paid program is furnished by Dr. Steve Pettirudi. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Join Dr. Pettirudi as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pettirudi.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Steve Pettirudi, and this is Intellectual Medicine, the place where you come each week to learn how to live the 120-year lifespan. 120 years. How's that sound right now? You know, if you had a great night, woke up this morning all energized, maybe you had your lean, healthy breakfast and you're getting ready to go to the gym, looking forward to a beautiful day, whatever you have on your agenda, it's looking pretty good. Give me more of that. On the other hand, if you're listening to the show because you didn't sleep last night, night didn't go so hot, you're wondering, really? 120 years of this? Remember, the road turns, the sun rises, and we prepare for what comes next. We don't know what comes next, but if we do the right thing in the moment, we'll have a foundation underneath us that can withstand hardship and celebrate joy. The 120-year lifespan is within our grasp, but we're not going to get there walking a traditional path. So today we'll be talking about a few things you can do to be on the lookout for some hazards in the conventional medical world, as well as the community at large, and what you can do in your personal life that's going to help you get there with sound mind and sound body. You know, this is where you come to find out the difference between great health and the absence of disease. Conventional medicine has come to define health as the absence of active disease. Every day I listen to stories of patients that'll tell me, I just don't feel good. I'm tired. I've gained weight. I'm not happy. I'm not sleeping correctly. You go to the doctor and the doctor says, well, you don't have cancer. You don't have diabetes. The blood work all looks fine. It must be your age. You're getting on after all. If you hear that being told to you as an explanation for a symptom, look further. This is the age of the medical revolution. You do have the power to go to the internet. You have the power to search for other outlets. It's no longer the era that was present as recently as 15 years ago, maybe 20, when the doctors and the power brokers had all the knowledge. You had nothing. The doctor said X, you had to believe it because you had no means to acquire other knowledge. I remember when I was early in my career, trying to find out new information meant going to the library in the hospital or the medical school and looking through paper charts and looking through journals. It would take me the whole afternoon to maybe look at three articles. I have to copy them on the copy machine. Now you can rifle through 100 of them in an afternoon. Now you can narrow your search to the target that's bothering you. Now you can find clinicians that are of the intellectual medicine spirit. They're not bound by the guild of conventional medicine that has a dogmatic approach that too often puts protocols and bureaucratic objectives in front of patient well-being. Using information and using knowledge, you can apply it to certain situations. I'm reminded of the quote from Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, a physician, a patriot, when he said, quote, "The Constitution of the Republic should make a special privilege for medical freedom as well as religious freedom." Folks, today we're fighting the battle of medical freedom. The state, in cahoots with the insurance company, wants to rob you of that. They want everything to be the same so that it can be quantified and controlled. Medicine is never better when doctors and patients have the maximum amount of freedom. So now we're stuck. We have a system that's broken. And you know, when things go really bad, sometimes people turn to a powerful central force. Some folks in Colorado are now calling for a single-payer system. Save us from this chaos. Come, big government, save us. Be careful what you wish for. Show me a monopoly, that is great customer service, that is innovative and progressive. Think about that for a minute. What monopoly fulfills those criteria? I can't think of one. I was in the Army for many years, and I was proud to serve. But we were in the medical corps, and we had 20 doctors. There were two telephone lines for 20 doctors. The savvy clinician, or the savvy patient, would wake up at 3 in the morning, dial the number, and let it ring for 4 hours until we arrived at the clinic. There was always a phone ringing when we walked in. So be careful what you wish for, folks. Well, let's turn the page. I want to talk a little bit about an issue that made the headlines in Flint, Michigan. But, folks, it's in your kitchen, it's in your bathroom, and unfortunately, it's in your body. I'm talking about lead. A recent report that 5,300 U.S. water systems are in violation of EPA lead rules. 5,300 are in violation of having violated the levels of lead or the proper method of testing. And when they dug further, they found out the number would be greater, except many water authorities manipulate the test. They go to an area where they know they'll get a good result and pass it off as the norm for the entire system. Look around you. You see crumbling roads, bridges in disrepair. That's what the eye can see. How about what's under the ground? Do you think the government cares about spending money where nobody can see it when things are crumbling in front of their eyes? Be advised. There's lead in your water, you're drinking it, and it's getting stored in your body to your detriment. Now, don't run off and get a blood test. They're useless. Lead travels through the blood, lands in the bone where 90% of it accumulates over time. Since it's such an alien substance to the body has no way to get rid of it. It stays there for decades, corroding your health, contributing to cardiovascular illness, corroding the brain. In children, it causes mental retardation. Or maybe not. Maybe it just knocks 10 or 20 points off an IQ that would have been 130 and is now 110. See, nobody really notices, do they? And what about the EPA regulation to begin with? What should be the proper amount of lead you should consume? And the answer is zero. It has absolutely no purpose in the human body. So test your water, filter your water, protect yourself, but that's not enough. You've got to test yourself and see what legacy lead has been stored in your body. That requires something called provocative testing. Provocative testing means you take a substance, calcium EDTA. In our office, we do it intravenously, and it pulls the lead out of its hiding places in the bone and in the cells. We then collect and test what comes out of the urine. That gives us an example of the stored up amount of lead in your body. The blood test, not good enough. Remember, the lead passes through your blood, just landing in the bone. It's only there for about 24 hours. Furthermore, you're not going to catch low levels. What is a normal level of lead in the blood? Again, the answer is zero. However, in America, in the Northeast, it's uncommon to see that. The lead comes from the power plants, from burning fossil fuel. It comes from sometimes your cups, drinking glasses, there's lead in red wine. So for my part, I do a chelation at least every month because I don't intend to stop drinking red wine. And I can't filter the lead out of it. But by knowing your level, you can protect yourself. Why does it matter? You feel pretty good right now. The 120-year lifespan requires protecting your brain. All the cells of your body can regenerate, except neurons. They don't regenerate as well. They're very slow. They accumulate insults, and they manifest those insults later in life in the form of lost memory, dementia, Parkinsonism. They're looking for cures for dementia. Good luck. Dementia is, in my opinion, the end stage of a variety of insults to the brain. I don't believe we're going to find a singular gene that will explain all dementia. I do believe that it is accumulation of things such as trauma, malnourishment in the form of micronutrient deprivation, and toxic heavy metals. Lead is among them. Gadolinium is another. If you've ever had an MRI with contrast, they put gadolinium in your vein. Recent studies have demonstrated that gadolinium can be found in the brain. We don't know what it's doing there, but it sure doesn't belong. And it may well be another contributor. So be mindful of your brain, folks. If you woke up today feeling great, your brain feels fantastic, it's hard to look down the road and do things now that will help you when you're 50, 60, and 70 and beyond. But that's what matters. It's like preparing for retirement, only you want to take your brain with you. All that money you're saving for retirement, you do not want to spend it on custodial care and medical interventions. Invest in your health now. Test your lead levels, and you'll be able to live with a clean brain throughout the span of your life. Now, of those 5,300 water systems, only 817 have had state action, and only 88 have had the EPA investigate. They're overwhelmed. The government will not be here to help you in this matter. The attention is on Flint, Michigan, but it should be in Warwick, Westerly, East Providence. It should be all over Rhode Island. You have to take care of yourself because the government does not have a capacity to do it for you. And when the going gets tough and the money gets tight, they just move the bar a little bit. They allow for a higher level of toxins so they don't have to pay to clean them up. It's sort of like what they do in education, where if the budget doesn't allow for all the kids with special needs to get attention, they redefine special need, and voila, your child is now mainstreamed. They didn't get any better. We just needed a way to cut the budget. So heavy metal testing is high on my agenda whenever I see healthy patients. In the long term, it can corrode the brain. It's been correlated with heart disease. It's been correlated with high blood pressure. And it can contribute to fatigue and other chronic symptoms. Well, listen, when we come back, we're going to talk about another warning, something that you need to protect yourself from. So I'm Dr. Paderewski. This is Intellectual Medicine. Stay with us.
Now, back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Paderewski. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
Hi, folks. I am back. That's right. It's Dr. Paderewski. And yes, you can call in. I got a bit of a stream of consciousness going on here, and I know many of you like to sit back and listen, but if there's a question on your mind, feel free to share it with me, and we will tackle that topic. On to a warning. In the U.S., there were 35 deaths associated with Olympus endoscopes. Those are the little scopes doctors use to put down your throat to look at your stomach and your esophagus. Well, it turns out that there's a design flaw and that the scopes are a little harder to clean than the company originally thought. And in 2013, the company became aware that there was a problem. Olympus became aware that their scopes could harbor bacteria that could cause harm. In Europe, they gave a warning and did some recalls. In the U.S., they were silent. They felt that the risk was acceptable, and that's a quote. They instructed their sales force not to tell anybody about it unless they specifically asked. 35 people died from an infection after getting a scope to look in their stomach. Anytime a procedure is done to you, anytime a doctor wants to put a device into your body, pause, think hard. You know, when I was in medical school, we used to talk about what specialty we wanted to go into. I'm a family physician, board certified in that field. I'm board certified in anti-aging medicine and in weight loss medicine. I really tried hard to love gastroenterology. The medical students used to call it scoping for dollars. You could knock out one of those scopes and get paid as much money as a family doctor gets paid in seeing an entire morning of patients. One scope. There's a disproportionate reimbursement for doing procedures. Now, how does that endanger patients? Well, if a doctor's getting paid $500, that's just an abstract number, folks, of getting paid a large amount to drop a scope in your stomach, but gets paid chump change to actually think through a problem, what do you think they're going to be inclined to do? Find yourself a doctor that's willing to pause and think. Hang on to he or she tightly. I know some of those doctors. They typically are hassled by insurance companies for attempting to get paid for the intellectual effort they're putting forth. That's why so many doctors revert to quick scopes. Got heartburn? I got a scope. Not swallowing good? I got a scope. Why? Well, it protects them against malpractice. God forbid something really horrible is going on. Okay, so what's horrible that goes on? Ulcers. If you have an ulcer, that's a medical urgency that requires attention. But it also would manifest itself with other symptoms. A scope is not always necessary. Suppose you have persistent heartburn. Well, the first thing you should do is address the causes. Getting yourself to your healthy weight. That's harder to do than diet and exercise. We will talk about that over the course of our show, perhaps today, but certainly in the future. And we'll continue to talk about it because it is the hardest thing to do in medicine. But that can be an asset in getting rid of heartburn. Raise the head of your bed. Now, pillows don't work. If you put a 2x6 underneath the headboard, it will create an angle that will keep the acid in your stomach and less likely to cause you problems. Don't eat much within 2 hours of sleeping, and be mindful of foods that are triggers. Coffee, alcohol, the hard foods to eat and swallow. You do not want to mask your heartburn with chronic drugs and then eat poorly on top of it. That will lead to problems. The drugs, the proton pump inhibitors that are commonly used, have been correlated with dementia, probably because of a lack of ability to absorb proper nutrients. You need acid in your stomach to digest your food. It's normal for it to be there. Blocking it all the time is no way to live. On top of that, getting scopes dropped in to look for cancer? Bad news if you have esophageal cancer. A scope is not likely to give you benefit in survival. It's never been shown to have a beneficial outcome regarding treating cancer. Unfortunately, esophageal cancer quickly metastasizes and is very hard to control. Therefore, you want to be proactive. Do things to prevent the cancer. Now, we were talking a moment ago about lead. The other metals that I see commonly are cadmium. In this area, we see aluminum. Now, cadmium is a powerful carcinogen. It's used as a dye in the cosmetic industry. It's not often listed as a substance. It's often a proprietary ingredient and does not need to be recorded. I have seen hundreds of these tests come back with high cadmium levels. So we're connecting the cadmium to the esophagus because we're talking about living 120 years, and that means doing things to not let yourself catch cancer. It also means avoiding conventional medicine as much as possible. Specifically, avoiding the tendency for conventional medicine to direct you towards procedural moments. Procedural moments, putting things in your body, scoping you, putting metal and hardware in your body. These things can have horrible and unforeseen outcomes. So take care of your health. Raise your headboard. If you can get an adjustable bed, that's even better. Raising it a few degrees can protect your esophagus, eliminate snoring, and help to prevent you from getting heartburn. So think twice before getting that scope. If it's a routine procedure, there is no such thing. So folks, I'll be back on the flip side. We're going to be talking about some other pet causes of mine, including how to protect yourself from dangerous surgical interventions and some things to avoid in weight loss as well. I'm Dr. Pederuti, and this is Intellectual Medicine.
News Talk 630 and 99.7 FM WPRO presents Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Join Dr. Pederuti as he guides people towards living the 120 lifespan while retaining youth. He'll apply logic, reason, and scientific evidence to address conditions that drain people of their joy and vitality while protecting people from the harmful aspects of conventional medicine. Now, here's Dr. Steve Pederuti.
Hi, folks. Dr. Pederuti, I'm back, and we are talking about a range of topics, one of which was lead. And in a story at the bottom of the half hour that Doug mentioned in Flint, Michigan, you know, Flint, Michigan is serving as a useful smokescreen to prevent focus on the issues in our own backyard. I mean, after all, we're not as bad as Flint, correct? Well, Flint may be the outlier, but unfortunately, it represents a part of the norm. The inadequacy of the testing and monitoring of our drinking water has led to the chronic low-grade intoxication or accumulation of lead in many of us. So we're talking about testing your water, making sure that your source is protected within your own home. And we're talking about testing you to eliminate the lead that's accumulated. Now, how did it get there? After all, you know, I do filter my water, doctor. I do live cleanly. Well, a study demonstrated that newborn infants, they took a sample of the cord blood from the umbilicus. They found that there were 120 pollutants in that cord blood. Folks, you start accumulating toxins from mom when you're in the womb. That lead gets transferred and other toxins go right into the fetus. They accumulate over time, and we continue to accumulate them. Hey, if you're like me and you came up in the era of lead gas and lead paint, I guarantee you, you've got a certain amount of stock built up. It wasn't until the 1970s they took the lead out of the gasoline, and as the 1980s, they took it out of most of the paint, though it's still out there in remnants. So you can certainly get tested. We do that every day at our office. You can call Tanya, Gina, or Ashley, and they will get you squared away. And by the way, when you're calling, you may want to wish Ashley and Gina a happy birthday. It's their birthday this week. So anyhow, on to other topics. I had an interesting case I'd like to share with you. I changed the gender and the ages just to protect confidentiality, but this was a 38-year-old male who came to see me in an electric wheelchair, totally disabled, had a series of back operations that went poorly, and now had paralysis in the left leg, was in chronic pain, and was seeking care. Now, when this guy was 22 years old, he was having problems with his back. He had a disc injury, and the doctors thought a surgery would help him. Five surgeries later, paralysis of the left leg, unable to walk very far at all except for the wheelchair. What do they do for him now? Full of metal throughout the back, nothing left to operate on, in chronic pain. That chronic pain is controlled to a degree with pain medicine, opioid pain medicine. Well, folks, if you've been reading the headlines, you know that doctors are under assault by the government, in many cases, for the offense of attempting to treat pain. Now, I grant it, there are outliers, physicians that have abused their privilege and have manipulated their power to prescribe in order to acquire personal profit. But it's far more common for doctors to be sincerely attempting to help patients with pain, getting scrutinized by the government and hassled for treating patients. I've never heard of a doctor who got audited for not prescribing opioids. Now, think about that. If you're a family practice doctor and you never prescribe opioids, are you telling me that your patients are never in pain? So here comes this poor guy in his wheelchair. Doctor's trying to take him off of all of his narcotics, not because they're failing to work, but because the amount of narcotics being prescribed are starting to bear to draw scrutiny. Well, when it comes to back pain, or for that matter, any source of pain, the mistake is to look solely at the point of pain and to address it as a local phenomenon. Back pain, any pain, headache pain, is a consequence of the entire system, and you have to look at it completely. So this patient is now, after being with us for a little while, capable of walking with a cane. The wheelchair is gone. The weight's starting to come down, the pain is under control, and the hope and the expectation is that the opioids will be diminished. They may never be gone. When you've had five surgeries, when you're full of metal, sometimes the best you can do is get by being as healthy as you can with what's left. The moral of this story, folks, is number one, go slowly down that path for a surgical remedy when it comes to any pain-related issue. Now, I'm not talking about emergency surgery, gallbladders coming out, emergency cancer surgery, obstructed bowel. The surgeons every day save lives and do great things for people. However, if it's elective, and particularly if it involves trying to improve pain, you need to do everything else first. get to a doctor who can manage your weight. Diet and exercise will fail. You never get surgery in order to exercise so you can lose weight. I've heard people make that mistake when it comes to knee replacements. Well, let me get my knee fixed, then I'll exercise and lose weight. No! You lose weight, you build muscle. Sometimes that pain just goes away. The same thing is true for your back. You lose weight, you build muscle. If your hormones are too low, you replace them so you can build the muscle needed. If your doctor tells you all you need to do is diet and exercise to lose weight, you find another doctor. Because that advice, folks, didn't work in the 1970s, and it still doesn't work today. So when we come back after the break, I'm going to talk about weight loss and about procedures that can do harm in that arena. So go slow out there, folks. I am Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine.
Now, back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pederuti. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
Hi, folks. I am back. This is Dr. Pederuti on a beautiful Saturday morning, enjoying time with you, reflecting on living 120 years, what it means to us. Well, it means staying young. You don't live 120 years and spend the last 40 of it being disabled. I saw a gentleman recently came to see me, he's in his mid-80s, and was suffering the consequences of devastating diabetes and vascular disease. His mind was clear, his walking was challenged. It's a rescue moment. Living 120 is in our grasp, but sometimes getting to next week is what matters the most. And sometimes using intellectual medicine to arrive at ways to improve your quality of life when you're in the midst of that which is otherwise untreatable is a great opportunity to live better. That's what we do every day, trying to find a way to enhance the quality of the moment. Some people will say, I don't want to live to be 120. Talk to the guy that's 98 and ask him, do you want to hit 99? I can tell you 100% of the time, the answer is yes. Given the ability to have some joy in life, to move, to think, the answer is always yes. Life is beautiful and short, and we're dead a long time. So let's not be in a hurry to get there. Do the things now to build your base. And if you're suffering, do the things now to improve your quality, especially when medicine says we got nothing left. That's where we begin. Well, let's talk a little bit about things to avoid. One of my favorite things to hate, lap bands. That chunk of rubber they stick inside of people on the foolish hope that it will somehow make them magically lose weight. This was a bad idea when it was introduced. It's a bad idea today. It's a foreign substance surgically implanted to choke off your gut such that it will fill up more quickly. How primitive, how barbaric, and how ineffective. Every week I see patients with lap band failures. In the best of circumstances, maybe you're going to get 20, 25 pounds of weight loss, and then it starts to come back, like it always does, because your brain figures a way around the band. Now you've got a chunk of rubber and the weight to go with it. Such was a case of a patient I saw this week who needed to lose about 120 pounds to get to a healthy weight. And somebody had the timidity to put a lap band in this poor patient. A lap band to lose 120 pounds has never happened, never will. But you know what? They get paid. The lap band people get paid. Everybody gets paid. And then the patient leaves the operating room and goes along their life. And when they don't lose weight, the patient gets blamed. Nowhere, I should say, there are few places in the world where the bias against obesity is more profound than in the average doctor's office. The doctors to this day, the majority of them, will tell you, diet and exercise, and you're going to lose weight. Folks, unfortunately, that simple advice fails the vast majority. Now, if you need to lose 5 or 10 pounds, you want to tone up for the summer, fine. And I'm not discounting the importance of nutrition. However, merely telling somebody what they already know is an insult to their intelligence. As you're sitting there in the doctor's, I have a patient, saw a patient this week, hadn't been to the doctor in 6 years. Why? Because every time she went to the doctor, they would tell her, you know, you really should lose some weight. Well, you don't think she knows that? She's 100 pounds overweight. Highly intelligent, highly accomplished, not lacking in discipline, not lacking in capacity, but hormonally and neurochemically engineered to be fat. The hardest thing to do in medicine is to treat obesity. The American Medical Association in 2013 declared obesity a medical condition. They advocated doctors to recognize it and look for opportunities to engage patients in the assessment of the problem and direct them to proper avenues of care. 2013, and there's been precious little progress made. Why? It's hard. It doesn't respond to a single drug. A 15-minute appointment with a doctor is not adequate to mold nutritional behavioral change. Thus, we develop our programs to help patients every day achieve what they thought was unachievable. We're not alone in this pursuit, although we are one of the few. You can go to the Obesity Medical Association, you can Google that, and you'll find doctors that have a spirit and an intellect and a training to try to address this most important problem that is the foundation of many other chronic health conditions. So by all means, no lap bands, and by all means, go slowly toward any gastric resection. We'll be talking about that a little bit after the break, about what you can do to help keep yourself healthy and tying all these threads together, keeping you living the 120-year lifespan. I am Dr. Steve Pettirudi, and this is Intellectual Medicine.
Now, back to Intellectual Medicine with Dr. Pettirudi. Call in now at 438-WPRO or 1-800-321-WPRO.
All right, folks, I am back. This is Dr. Pettirudi. This is Intellectual Medicine. We're talking about the 120-year lifespan, and today we skipped around, touching on different aspects of it. At the top of the hour, we were talking about heavy metal toxicity, lead, cadmium, mercury, aluminum, the importance of avoidance of these heavy metals, and the importance of testing for their presence within you by virtue of a provocative heavy metal test. That's an area of specialty for us at our center in Warwick. And if we know what's there, we can design a plan to diminish it, protecting your brain, your heart, diminishing your risk of cancer. Aluminum, I just don't ever recommend cooking or storing food in aluminum. Those little aluminum pie shells that people put stuff in, that aluminum leaches into your food. The aluminum cans you drink out of, particularly carbonated beverages, it leaches into the beverage. Tin foil leaches in. Unfortunately, many dyes have aluminum in them. Medical pills use aluminum as part of the dyeing process, so you should be mindful of that. Underarm antiperspirants, aluminum chlorhydrate is a source for aluminum as well. So finding a non-aluminum-based antiperspirant is a good thing to do. The other aspect of living the 120-year lifespan, avoid procedural modern medicine as much as possible. Don't let doctors put stuff in you unless it has been exhausted in every other option. And I would say that it would require at least three opinions before somebody does an elective procedure to put something in you. We talked at the middle of the hour of the patient who had back surgery, had hardware put in the back, went poorly, had four more surgeries, and after five operations was left disabled in a wheelchair. We talked about the patient with the lap band who was unable to have any success with weight loss. Not surprising, since lap bands typically have a poor record of significant weight loss for patients. And I have to say again, the gastric bypass, one of the surgeries that has been highly over-marketed, overblown, and overutilized. And I can't blame the patients. I can't blame you folks for that. After all, you're desperate. You go to see your doctor, and the doctor's been trained to believe that your obesity problem is a character flaw, that you are simply weak of mind and will. And if you simply put your fork down, all would be well. That's false. We're born to be fat. We are engineered to eat everything because eating keeps us alive, and fat is our protection against inadequate energy intake. All your neurotransmitters, all the hormones in your body are engineered for that purpose. And some of you have a much more aggressive capacity than others. It requires an integrated treatment, sometimes with medication and supplements. Getting to your best weight and keeping it is part of the 120-year lifespan. Avoiding death through medical procedure like infected endoscopes or misguided attempts to surgically correct pain or futile efforts to put devices in you to prevent you from gaining weight or to help you lose it. I saw one recently where they put a spigot in the stomach to drain food out of it. Seriously, folks, that's something that they thought of. So stay well, folks. Avoid the dangers of modern medicine. Get out and enjoy the day. And tune in next week. I'm Dr. Pederuti. This is Intellectual Medicine.